episode of Extra Features. My name is Kevin.
I'm Simon.
Intern.
And we're the podcast, movie podcast that just keeps on giving.
We are, you know.
It's like Christmas.
Yeah, it is.
Don't
like
give
Christmas.
Us that.
Kevin, you asked me a question the other day when we were recording this about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you asked me to look for Christmas ideas. So I've actually been making an effort. I read Entertainment Weekly, had a whole bunch. Nothing that interests me. And I even went to Walmart and looked for, like, Christmas box sets or something like that I could recommend.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. And I even went to Costco looking for the same thing. Nothing. So did you find something for yourself for Christmas that you would want? Because I couldn't find anything that I wanted.
Oh, that I would want? No, unfortunately, I buy whatever I want when I see it. So there's generally no, thing. I mean, there's technology. I always want a bigger TV.
But that was it. I'm like, I'm getting to the point now that all I want is an 80-inch TV, which I think will be my realm with it next year. I just got to start working on my basement to build my home theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I've even started looking for theater seats, like actual old theater seats that I want for my... That's what I want for my home theater, to have actual home theaters.
Now, I've been to your house. Where would you put those?
Do you know where you go downstairs to the basement? When you go right there is where that's going to go.
In the basement?
In the basement.
Okay.
In that long hallway that's very dark,
mm-hmm.
and that's where it's going to be.
Okay.
I think that's the best option. What do you think, Bob?
Good idea.
Great.
Bob wishes he could get Pitch Perfect on DVD.
Yeah, what is that, Bob? You've seen Pitch Perfect 3 times. And it's not even on our list this week. What's up with that?
No comment.
Like, should we add Pitch Perfect?
Nope.
Like, are you excited about seeing The Hobbit tomorrow?
Sure.
That doesn't sound too exciting, Bob, because we know Kevin's already seen it for us.
Yeah.
I know. I saw it on Facebook.
Yeah.
You had it on Facebook already?
I didn't really get into the movie itself. I got into the 48 frames per second stuff.
Do you like eating and talking? Because it's kind of funny watching
it. It does. It adds different layers of sound to my voice.
Okay. So anything else exciting in your guys' life, other than being close to Christmas?
No, just down to the wire as far as Christmas goes.
How's the store doing?
Store's okay. Busy.
That's good.
Pre-Christmas, a lot of things are selling out faster than we can get them back in stock.
Well, that's what you want, isn't it?
Saga trade paperbacks. Have you read Saga?
Yeah, I have all 5 issues. I've never read it, though.
It's like the biggest thing ever. It outsells every other title on the rest.
So you're telling me when I get to finally read my 1-6, is that me? Or I have every issue that came out.
Yeah. 7 is it.
So I have the first 7. I have not read 1 issue.
I didn't enjoy it as much as other people seem to, but it's just massive. I mean, we put 15 trade paperbacks on the counter a week ago, and they're all gone.
So you tell
nothing like, sells 15 trade paperbacks in a week.
Are they going to go? My number one could be like a Walking Dead number one. Then
it's already like a $30 book.
So kidding me?
No,
I haven't even read it yet. Like I haven't even picked it up. I've paid for it, but not picked it up.
Well, don't ever read it and buy a trade, and then you can read it and then sell your original.
Well, I have one to sell. Maybe that's the way I should do. I mean, maybe I should do it. Okay, well, I'll wait a couple more months, and you can tell me if it's worth trying to dump them. Because,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I have the first 6-7 issues unread.
Really?
Not even opened. Have not read 1 issue of it.
Well, it's entertaining. It's good it's good stuff.
Well, there was some good stuff, though, I saw. I mean, I thought Flight was good.
Yes.
Aren't we reviewing these movies?
I guess we should start since we're not going anywhere.
Well, I did not see Flight, directed by Robert Zemeckis and starring... it's Zemeckis, not Zemeckis.
Zemeckis?
Denzel Washington, John
That's
Goodman,
what I read on IMDb.
Bruce Greenwood, Nadine Velasquez. Now,
hang on, you're missing somebody.
I know I am.
Don Cheadle? It's Don Cheadle.
Oh, that's right, he was in it too.
How can you miss Don Cheadle?
It's called Work.
Oh, yeah, I have to apologize to people that noise in the background. We're recording early in the morning as opposed to our later time just because of Christmas season, Christmas parties. So there's a drawing class going on right near us.
Simon insisted we record so that you guys don't miss out on an episode on a regular basis.
Yeah, well, I do try. So back to Flight. Bob?
Yes?
This movie blew me away at times. Like,
hold on.
Yes.
You actually like something?
Oh, I thought Flight was fantastic.
Listeners, he actually likes something.
I mean, I think Kevin would like it. I mean, the first 40 minutes, like, the guy gets on the plane. I also have to state something. People get mad at me because I don't tell them. We spoil everything. If you're listening to the show, we don't have a spoiler warning. We're just going into it. So if you're listening to us, that's
spoiler alert.
I'm supposed to be doing that at the beginning of the year, so people that get it when they get iPods and things,
so
know that we spoil
you're
stuff.
You're going to have to say spoiler alert at the
No more spoiler. That's it for the year. Episode. Right. So what I'm saying is, I thought a guy gets up, he has sex with the stewardess, has a couple drinks, and gets on the plane. So I'm like, okay.
Actually, he did something before the drinks, too.
Oh, he did like, the Coke line.
Yeah.
And he is hammered getting on this plane.
You can't tell, though, when he's...
You can't.
No.
And he's sitting there. And that whole scene when the plane is going down...
That was terrific.
That scared the Jesus out of me. Oh, I really felt I was actually on the plane going down with the plane for the first time in my life. They actually... Zemeckis pulled me. I was there. I really thought I was going down with the plane.
I think the theater I saw it in had, like... it was... They turned the sound up or something because you did feel like you were on it.
Oh, it was loud.
Yeah.
And,
But they showed it twice, how he sort of turned the plane upside down, and like when he was actually doing it, and then at the court scene,
yes,
they showed it again. Like that was great.
From the guy that caught it with his iPhone,
yeah,
that amazed me. Yeah, with technology now, what can you get away with? Because everybody's got a camera phone. It's not like the '80s, you know, when you go around playing Nicky Nicky Nine Doors, nobody filmed each other or set dog poop on fire. You never went to somebody's door, rang the doorbell, and took off, Bob? You never did that stuff?
I also didn't do Nicky Nicky. What the heck?
Well, then you put dog poop and you run off.
No, I never did that.
Set it on fire. You guys had no fun out in the higher stuff. All that stuff we did as a kids. No. I apologize to all those people.
Depends
now.
On the area growing up, I guess.
I guess so. So what I'm saying, I think this was done really well.
Yeah, I agree.
And then from this, we find the Denzel character lives and not that many people died.
Seven. Four.
Four. Like, for what you expect. I expect a lot more people died, but that's fine. And
well,
then
they explained that he was so good at doing this. Like, yeah. Other people would fly the plane, and like a lot more people would die.
But here's the point of this, what I'm getting is, and then when you're down in the dumps, Kevin, I'm talking, you're feeling for this guy. You know he's an alcoholic. You know he's a drug addict. His life's in the shitter. He calls his friend, the priest. He goes, oh, we got your priest. John Goodman shows up with, like, this gates of liquor. And he goes, here, I brought you some Skin magazines. I know what it feels like. And then John Goodman puts you in a happy place again.
Yes.
And then from here, this movie...
I would say I like John Goodman.
I love John Goodman.
Yeah.
He was great in this role.
Mm-hmm.
And then
he was, actually.
And then I find this movie just plunge you into utter darkness. Do you not find that, Bob? It's like a full-on, let's hit the pedal, go to 500 kilometers an hour, and miles, I guess, of American listeners. And it plunges you into darkness of alcoholism, does it not?
Yes.
And this character has no redeeming qualities.
No. Even when they stuck him in the hotel, like, he found that the room next door, he could get into the room next door.
Yeah.
Because his room... Had a bar, but all there was Coke and Coca-Cola and orange juice. He got into the next room, he found a fully stocked bar.
And got hammered.
Yes.
And, I mean, I don't know. Do we think this character... I guess we get to the end of the film, and then the character's in front of the inquiry, and he finally says, I'm an alcoholic.
Yes.
Does he find redemption then? Do we think he's redeemed?
I think he thinks he needs help at that point.
Because like, the whole movie, he denies it. He goes, no, I'm not an alcoholic. I can stop. Because he does stop when he first gets to the farm.
Yeah.
And then starts again. And that girl he's dating takes him to AA classes, and he doesn't want to stay there. And
well, then, she was originally an alcoholic herself, but then like she sees him and goes, I'm not doing this.
Now, my question is, when his son visits him, because so he goes to visit his ex-wife, and his son wants something to do with him.
Yeah.
Does she want something to do with him now? Is he redeemed, I guess, is what I'm trying to get. I say no.
You mean when he's in the jail talking?
Yes.
I think he's on his way to being redeemed.
I think so, too, but does he get there, I guess?
I think he just got redeemed in the back.
I think he did.
All right, so nothing should be, like...
I recommend this film.
As do I.
I really do.
To me, it came out at a time when other films were overshadowing it, and it was definitely not on my radar, something I'd want to see.
I think you should see it on Netflix. I think you would like it.
Okay.
Like, I don't think you would lose a lot. I'm not saying it's... You've heard me. It's not a happy movie for you, Kev.
Okay. Well, speaking of not happy movies, the next movie on our list is Red Dawn, starring Chris Hemsworth and Josh Hutcherson, directed by someone. I don't know who, but Wow, so it's a remake of the 80s film that starred Patrick Swayze. Who saw this one? Did you all see it?
Yep. Yeah.
So I had a preview screening ticket for this one.
You did see it?
Yeah, so I did see
Go
it.
Ahead, Lee.
I didn't like it at all. It's basically, it was originally the Chinese, they changed it to the Koreans, who are the enemies in it. And it's just, you know, I wouldn't say it was somewhat entertaining, but it's not a great film by any stretch. It's just a filler. I'd actually say pass on it or watch it on Netflix or whatever if you're bored. Hemsworth is the only good thing about this movie.
You know, I didn't mind Helms. I like Josh Hutcherson. I thought he did.
That was the brother, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You see, to me, they didn't look like brothers.
No, they weren't brothers.
It was
in
like
any way.
If Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger were brothers.
Yes.
They just don't look alike at all.
No, I agree.
And you know, and Josh Hutcherson looks like his face got hit by a car.
It does.
And his lips are hanging down low. Anyway, I didn't. Again, I just. You know, so they take over the town, kill the adults, or capture them. So the kids become the Wolverines, like a terrorist cell, causing trouble for the Chinese, or the South Korean. Yes. And then there's one Korean dude who's like the big bad guy.
I liked him.
He was okay.
Yeah.
And then the comedian shows up in the middle of it and saves them all.
He does.
That guy's name is.
I had a few problems with this. I find that, of course, thanks, Bob. See, I actually watch film and analyze film as opposed to seeing Pitch Perfect 3 times or Hotel Transylvania 8 or Rock of Ages 25. Like, I didn't think this film was bad. I think it's a great filler watcher, as you say, on a Saturday afternoon or a matinee to have people over. Man, it's always a jazz.
Yes.
I think the problem is they didn't play the North Koreans up enough.
Yeah.
They seem to this token bad guys.
Yeah.
Like, they never seem evil enough.
No.
Like, they never seem to be doing anything evil. Like, the one traitor kid leaves her camp and this and that. And they kill the carrots kid. That's what gets them involved.
What I thought interesting too was they weren't necessarily evil.
No,
they're soldiers. They're there to do a job.
That's all they were there. But they felt very boring.
Yeah, well,
like,
they were. They weren't the Empire. I tell you that much.
Well, that's it. I'm
going to kill the stormtroopers.
And then I got really pissed off. The film's only an hour and a half. The original's an hour 45. And they don't really finish the movie. The kids get the legendary case that's going to crack open the whole thing. And we don't even know if they're free in the end.
No,
well, that's why they're probably
they go back
sequel.
To fight in the hopes that they could do Red Dawn 20.
Yeah, well, that's really it. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, I was surprised. Like, I got a twist on the movie because, like, Chris Hemsworth, he dies. I'm going, wait a minute, he's one of the main characters.
Yeah,
that doesn't make a difference.
But
in some movies.
Charlie Sheen die in the original?
I have no idea.
No.
I haven't seen it.
Charlie Sheen.
The main character is not allowed to die in movies.
No, I'm not saying that, but I was like, this is about the third or fourth time I've seen that happen, and I was like, it still surprised me because I thought, okay, it's Chris Hemsworth. He's not going to die.
His brother Manny.
Yeah.
To fight and lead.
That's true because he like at the end of the movie, his brother is now leading the cause.
He went on to become John Connor and lead the war against the Terminators.
Wow.
I don't know.
Well, I'm not passing on that one. I like it.
I'm not saying you shouldn't like it. I didn't think it was a bad movie. I just thought it needed a little bit more.
I think it was a good movie.
Simon likes the second movie.
I think it needed more depth. I think another 20 minutes, I might have liked it. I would like them to finish off the storyline. Because it ends very abruptly. They have the big fight. Okay, here's your case. Thank you. And leaves. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Right, I'm going to jump to the original. What did you think of the original in comparison to the...
About the same. I watched the original first, and then I watched the remake, and I felt exactly the same. I thought the acting was really bad, the original.
Yeah.
Very choppy film.
Yeah. It's an 80s film.
It's an 80s film, and you can see it. So it goes, okay, we're going to start here. They get town taken over, same way. Teacher dies. They're like, oh, one thing I did got to remember, the original. It never explains who the Wolverines are. We know they're the football team, but the remake, it does show them playing football.
Yes.
So it introduced who the Wolverines are.
Probably a common criticism of the original that they decided to rectify for the second.
Which made sense to me. But nothing really happened. And the thing is, when the kids all start getting killed, do you know when they get the food dropped from the helicopters, then they go get it? I'm like, are you guys really that dumb? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you knew someone was going to die there. As soon as the food dropped and the kids ran up to it, I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
I think Patrick Swayze is just a horrible actor. And yeah. So was Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen is the greatest living actor in our generation.
If you say so, but...
No, I'm just kidding.
But, I mean, Rent on One, is there a reason to watch? It's pretty boring. It's an hour and 45 minutes.
No, the only reason to watch it would be nostalgia.
Yeah, because it's awful.
Because you remember seeing it when you were like 10.
I loved it when I was 10. And the thing here is, in the remake, they didn't do the original, they didn't do the concentration camp thing.
Right.
Like, I couldn't figure out what the North Koreans were doing to the people. Like, at least in the remake.
They were storing them in garbage containers.
That's what those were.
No, no, they were, those are like shipping containers.
Like, yeah. Nothing happens. I'm like, really?
Why would you have shipping containers in the middle of the Midwest? Lima, or wherever it was. What was the town
of Washington, Seattle? Scranton. Scranton. Other side of Seattle, I thought, wasn't it?
I thought it was Scranton.
Wilkes-Barre in Philly?
I don't remember. I thought it was.
Who cares? It's a piece of junk. Both these movies are bad. I would watch the remake before I watched the original again, but
I like
never going to watch. Of course
you
did, Bob, because you like everything.
I don't like everything.
Okay. Hold on. This brings me back to a point I have to bring up.
Oh, okay.
Just, Kevin will find this funny. Justine. For the Quick Pod Pro podcast on Twitter, wrote at Extra Features, it's Justine Simon. You need to be nicer to your co-hosts.
Yeah.
So should I be nicer to you guys?
Well, you're always nice to me. It's never really
it's the intern.
It's just him.
Well, he's the intern. Isn't that supposed to do his job to suck it up?
Or to you're also not that friendly to a former member of our.
That's true.
She deserved everything she got.
Oh, you're so mean.
Okay. Now, here's
be
my
nicer.
Here's my question
the,
for
the
her.
Listeners are asking to be nice.
Yeah, well, I was listening to Justine's podcast yesterday, and it's a husband and wife podcast, and they discuss films.
Mm-hmm.
She ripped into her husband so bad on the show, I felt like going, really, Justine? So here's your
be
comment.
Be nicer to your husband.
Justine. Yes, Justine, this is us saying you need to be nicer to Jared, okay? That's all. So that's it. I'm
Why
being nice to you.
We all just get along.
I like that idea.
Okay.
Why can't we all just get
and
along
watch
during
Pitch
Film
Perfect
Fest?
Again.
Oh, God. Please, no, you should watch Fun Size, Kevin. You want something to just want to poke
I
your eyes out?
I haven't seen Fun Size, and I don't think I ever will. It stars Victoria Justice, Johnny Knoxville, Chelsea Handler, Jane Levy, Barry Livingston, Jax Nicholl. Who's going to summarize this one? Because I have no idea what this movie is.
Okay. I watched it. I saw this at the. I saw this.
Summarize it.
Summarize it? What do you mean, summer? Well, it's basically a copy of, even though I enjoyed it, it's basically a copy of Adventures in Babysitting, right down to losing the kid. She has a friend that she's with, and the parents are away doing something, but it's sort of...
The parents are away? Did you actually watch this
yes,
film?
Yes, her mother's
mom
a single
goes to
mother,
a party.
She went to a party.
Right, her parents aren't away.
Well, they weren't with her at the time.
And she's all pissed off. That
actually, wait,
out
they
with
were
her friends
the parents
Halloween.
In Adventures in Babysitting were at a party too. There you go.
Ren's Halloween plans go awry when she's made to babysit her brother, who disappears into a sea of trick or treaters, with her best friend and two nerds at her side. Nerds?
Same.
That's insulting. She needs to find her brother before her mom finds out he's missing. And then her brother is wearing like. Panties and a cape.
Spider-Man.
He's Spider-Man.
But he's naked. With, like, he's wearing a diaper.
He is. He's, like, 3 years old? 3 or 4?
Something.
He doesn't talk. Very doesn't talk that much.
He can talk.
Yeah, so he's got to be 3. I say he's 3.
Like, they're surprised when they hear him talk. I'm going, whoa.
Yeah, he's got to be 3.
He's wearing more clothes than the people that are in the background at the sorority house or whatever that is.
Anyway. Okay, Bob, go on about Fun Size. Let's hear it.
What's with the dog and the bunny ears?
Well, you just explained it right there.
No, you know. Tell why. Tell us about more. Why did you enjoy about this film?
I don't know. I thought it was fun. It was like it was around Halloween. It was a fun movie.
What did you enjoy the scenes with Chelsea Handler and her new boyfriend?
Actually, she's annoying.
Okay. Let me help Bob out with this thing. Kevin, it's the worst pile of shit I've seen in all season. I'm sorry I can't say that with kids, but I have to. Please do not watch this film. Do not rent this film. Do not give this film one more dollar. Who is the lead character? Victoria Justice is going to be one of the worst actresses I've ever seen in my life. You give her $5 in a paper bag, maybe she can be shipped off somewhere. She is horrible. Okay, Kevin, here's the thing. Oh, really, Mom? I have to babysit my brother. It's Halloween. So she gets dressed up.
Halloween party.
Which she couldn't go. So she takes her little brother and they go trick-or-treating together and loses him. Then spends the whole time looking for him.
At the parties.
At the parties.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, I have to find my little brother before my mom gets home. And of course, the mom calls and she's like, oh, yeah, everything's great. And then Fun Size goes from, who's he run into? It's not Johnny Knoxville. Who is it? The Jackson Nickel? He hangs out with some guy at a convenience store that likes to fire his slingshot at windows.
What? So what does the Fun Size mean?
The little kid is the Fun Size, and he's having fun.
Okay, so I guess that pretty much wraps up our...
We're not done discussing Fun Size.
There's nothing more to say about this movie.
No, there's many things. This is the highlights of Fun Size. I want my listeners to know I've sat through this whole movie. He does a little dance, and all the girls go, oh, isn't he so cute? And he hangs out. What was that guy trying to get drugs? No, he was trying to get something from somebody. Who? What was he trying to get, Bob? The guy at the convenience store. He kept calling him Little Man or something. Fun Size. Isn't that where he got Fun Size from?
He just said Little Man.
Kevin, it's the most painful thing I've ever seen in my life. It's absolutely going to be... You know what? I used to say Biodome was the worst film I've ever seen. This is clearly my top five worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
No.
What's scary is that Victoria Justice was born in 1993.
Exactly.
Oh, jeez.
I know.
And she's in anything else.
And she's starring in a movie. And she's from one of those Disney shows.
iCarly.
She's on iCarly.
She did two episodes of iCarly.
Yeah, my daughter watches iCarly, so I must have seen her.
She was in a show called Victorious.
That's the one.
And Zoe 101. She was at, I don't know if she was the star.
Well, here's my point. Why do they make these films? Who goes to see this junk besides me?
Me.
Well, he does. Sure. Bob does.
What possessed you to go see this film?
Okay. I'll tell you what.
Look, I could give Kevin $100 to see it. I don't think he'd make it through it. He'd run out screaming.
No. If it was on Netflix, I'd put it on in the background and watch 5 minutes while I was playing Marvel Avengers Alliance.
Okay, here's why I went to see it.
Okay.
Okay. There was say the theater had 20 films, right? The time I was there, there was that and something I knew I wouldn't enjoy. So I said, okay.
Sinister?
I don't know. I was going to go see that, too. But I went to see Fun Size. I looked at the poster and thought, this would be fun to see. So I did.
And then finished it and texted me, booyah, I saw Fun Size.
Yes.
Now, I got a bigger point here. How many films do you have at home to watch? Give or take.
Hundreds.
Why would you have gone home?
He passed up on the opportunity to watch two of the movies that are in our vault this weekend.
This was before that.
So that you can watch Fun Size.
Okay, well, I guess this is a good time to get into something I've never discussed with you guys, but I thought about it the other day.
What, your sexual orientation?
Yes, I'm in love with you, Kevin. You caught me. I thought for April we would have a listener's episode.
A listener's episode.
So people that listen to the show, you know, we always pick our films, that they could send us movies we haven't done.
Interesting idea.
But there's a catch. They have to give
they
us...
They have to be about fishing.
They have to be about no. fishing. Well,
no.
Sim-
Sorry, no fishing.
They have to give us iTunes feedback.
Okay.
So all you got to do... So here's my thing. If you only want one movie reviewed, email us at extrafeatures@gmail.com and we'll review any movie we haven't reviewed. If you want two movies reviewed, you need to give us feedback on iTunes. And is that not fair?
So we can be your dancing monkeys and pick the movies.
And you can pick our movies for April, because that's what I want.
I can't guarantee we'll watch them. No, we'll do our best.
I will want fun. Oh, speaking of movies.
We'll watch them all.
Remember Ember Lake?
Yes.
Okay, I have the Ember Lake story, which I haven't shared with you guys. So in searching for Ember Lake on the internet, I was unable to find it. There's no DVD copies available.
Yeah.
Zero. So I followed them on Twitter, the production company, and emailed them. Mm-hmm. DM'd them, said, I really want to see your film. They said, where do you go? I said, it's on Netflix. I said, no, it's not on Netflix. I can't find it. On Canadian. They said, well, it's available on Hulu. So I go to Hulu, of course. I can't get on Hulu living in Canada. So I went and found a proxy IP address, ran a proxy IP, and watched Ember Lake. Eric? Isaac's whatever his thing's called. IPC? I don't think it was the greatest film I've ever seen. I think it's an okay indie film. It's obviously clearly on a very low budget.
Wait, now I remember what that is.
A very low-budget film. I don't think it's a bad film. I wish they had more money to explore it a little bit more, because I find they have a lot of repetitious scenes, but again, I think that's more from budget astray.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a bad film. The end was interesting. It kind of has one of those, you got to kind of, did it happen or didn't happen endings? You know what I mean? So I don't want to ruin it for listeners until you two guys get to see it. We'll get into it a little bit more. But
Sounds like I'll never see it.
You'll probably never see it, because, I mean, so I guess, did I enjoy it? I thought it was okay. A week okay. So I didn't love it, and I didn't hate it, but I think most of my problems were production, like financial issues with the film. I thought the acting was eh. Couple of them were really weak actors. You know what I mean? Yeah. I could tell it was an independent production. So for India, I thought it was pretty good.
Simon, we got mail.
No, we don't have mail.
We did. We got an email.
No, we don't get. Nobody emails us at extrafeatures at gmail.
Mark Ziobra emailed us.
Ziobra? I've never heard of that guy.
Some comments about the last episode.
He must be mad at me. Who has time to email us?
Well, Mark does.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does. There it is. You want me to read it?
Yeah, I want you to read it, because I don't believe we have it.
I enjoyed your latest episode, as always. I found especially humorous your assault on the Jurassic Park series, in particular, poor Tia Leone and William H. Macy. But I agree the first one is a classic, and the others pale in comparison. In Jurassic Park 2's defense, it was based on a book by Michael Crichton, so the blame for many of the plot holes, including Malcolm's daughter, lies with him and not the film's director, which is Steven Spielberg. The book, incidentally, is much, much better. Keep up the good work. Enjoy your Bond saga, and look forward to the modern reviews of the Brosnan series and Daniel Craig. Now, I read The Lost World, the book,
and
I've seen the movie, and the movie bears very little resemblance
really?
To the book at all. So if they, I can't blame the book for being bad when the script writers completely changed the script completely for Jurassic Park 2.
Really?
Yeah. That, I mean, some things, the introduction of new dinosaurs and so forth is there, and some basic plot things are there, but it's not, you know, I don't seem to recall a Tyrannosaur running through the streets of downtown San Diego.
No?
In the book of The Lost World. They go to an alternate island site, yes. Isla Nublar, I think, was the first one, and I can't remember what the other.
And they bring a T-Rex there.
No, no, they're there trying to, but it's not, it's completely different. I found the book was enjoyable, and I remember going to see Jurassic Park 2 in the theater and thinking, this is not the book that I read. This
oh,
is completely
funny.
Different. This is Spielberg saying, I don't like this, throw it out the window, let's redo it. So anyway, that's just me. Any other comments about our band?
No, I don't know what to say. I mean, something, he didn't really ask us anything. So
no, he's just commenting.
He's commenting that I think he said Simon, you're the greatest. You should keep going. That's about all I heard.
I missed that.
Must have been there. And he didn't say any comment about me not picking on my intern. So I guess I'm okay. There's only one person's opinion. I guess he enjoys the abuse the intern takes. No, Mark's...
I find your assault on him pitch perfect.
Okay.
All right. So open the vault, Bob.
Bob.
Well, hello. Welcome to the vault.
Wow. Is that what happened to my Pitch Perfect CD, DVD?
That was not Pitch Perfect.
What do you want? I'm sick.
You're sick. What are you sick with? Why did you bring that at the beginning? Why do you have a cold?
I don't know. I've had it all week. So if somebody actually talks to me and finds out these things instead of rambling on when I try to talk to them. Because here's the thing. Simon will call. He'll keep going. You try to interrupt. You say, but it. And he'll say, but
all you wanted was to talk over you as you were rambling on. We talked about Octopussy. Sorry, I'm changing the subject.
Please.
Sorry. Oh, is that where that movie
was? It's Carly Simon.
Octopussy.
It's Carly Simon.
That movie was in the vault.
John Glenn. Starring Roger Moore, Maude Adams, Louis Jourdain.
Swamp Thing?
And other people.
And other people. Pierce Brosnan's late wife.
Who?
What?
She was one of the women in Octopussy.
Anyone? Just randomly?
I can't remember. I think she was the countess or something like that. Or, I don't know. She's in it.
Really? The blonde?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know who you're talking about then.
That's how they met him. They wanted him to be the next Bond after. I'm sorry, Bob.
Yeah, let's go to the bathroom.
Cry?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So, San Francisco Hospital Pussy, Kevin. What do you know about this? Did you see the? You didn't go see this recently, right?
No, I wanted to see it because John Glenn was.
Yeah, I know, and he was really nice. A friend of mine had a nice chat with him.
Yeah,
it was really nice.
It would have been kind of cool.
I wanted to go.
It was last Sunday, and I was at a wedding.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, my friends Scott and Gina got married. Congratulations, Scott and Gina.
I don't know who they are. I think I've met them.
Okay.
So what did you feel about this film? I think they were trying to make an effort.
Well, I mean, you have to think, they're coming off of Fear Eyes Only, which kind of redeemed the series a bit after the crap of Moonraker, the over-the-top stuff. But we're trying to do a straight spy thriller, but it's, again, it's like, he's too old.
Okay, so it's not just me that has this problem.
Yeah, his team's too old in Fear Eyes Only. He should have retired at that point. But they decided to keep on going.
Because they made too much money.
That's the thing. And they thought, well, these people still respond to him. And Octopussy made a lot of money. And came out about the same time as the other Bond movie, Never Say Never Again.
Which is supposed to be on here, but
right.
It doesn't seem to be on. Well, we can do it next anyway.
Which was Sean Connery remaking Thunderball.
Yes, and it's not on our list.
So,
I mean, I thought the storyline was very weak.
There's some things in this, like, is it the opening scene where he's in the little plane? And
yes.
He goes through the hangars and all that stuff?
Yes.
That was entertaining stuff.
I like that. But again, it was becoming a comedy, I thought.
Well, that's the thing. And then the stuff with him as a clown would be, you know, not good.
I thought they made it more of an effort. They brought it back a little bit more back to basics on this one.
And, you know, at least it made sense that his villain is about the same age as he is.
Yeah, the train sequence I didn't mind with the knife-throwing guys and that kind of stuff. I thought this was an attempt at a decent movie.
Yeah, it's just, why is this 80-year-old man
well, that,
fighting that, for the sake of safety of the free world?
Well, that was really my... And then he stops the bomb at the end.
Yeah. To me, it's like every retired person's secret dream to be 007.
Yeah, I think that's really it. I mean, I don't know, we're going through this Bond retrospect. I mean, I've hated every Roger Moore film.
Yeah.
Except for Live and Let Die, the only one I can tell you to watch.
You didn't like Fear Eyes Only?
It's okay, but I find that the last third act is really slow.
Oh, really?
That whole part where he's trying to climb the mountain, you know it's not him.
Well, that's true.
I'm like, really?
There's some interesting stunt work, though.
Some great stunt work. But again, like, give me the stunt man. Don't give me more.
Right.
Like, I'd rather see a guy that actually looks like he could do this.
All right. Did you see it, Bob?
Years ago.
Octopussy?
Years ago.
And Maude Adams still sucks.
So, explain to me the title. I know that she's got a tattoo or something. She goes, that's
yeah, she has a tattoo.
But I think it's meant to be somewhat of a euphemism. Does that mean like she has tentacles?
Yes.
I
think so.
About.
Well, what about all her people?
Anyway,
well, no, she's the head of the octopus.
Yes,
whatever.
It's just a spy agency,
her.
Right?
It's just a
agents.
Horrible movie.
Yeah, it is.
And then they went worse.
Oh,
like, he should have been done.
A View to a Kill. Also directed by John Glenn, stars Roger Moore, Christopher Walken, Grace Jones, Tanya Roberts, and the guy from The Avengers.
Yes.
Patrick McNeil.
Yes.
Oh. Why is he in this? I felt bad for him.
Comedy foil.
It was sort of like, yeah, let's bring another octogenarian out.
I felt bad because I'm a big fan of the 60s Avengers.
Yeah, well, like Patrick McNee has a great voice. He narrates all the Bond documentaries.
I know, but you're watching him in this going, why? Did they couldn't find somebody 40 years younger?
Just randomly off him.
Just sort of take him out. He's only there for like 20 minutes. He does what, a day's work, maybe 2 days of work,
and
he's gone?
Yeah, I think he was friends. And
I just felt bad for him.
Mm-hmm.
And Roger Moore is crusty by now.
Mm-hmm.
He is crusty. And Tanya Roberts, really?
Tanya Roberts, yeah.
Was
one of the worst actresses.
Oh my god.
These days we should review Sheena.
I have seen Sheena, though.
Queen of the Jungle.
Yeah, I think this was a big pile.
She's awesome in The Beastmaster.
I've seen all of them. One and two, isn't she? I think she's in both.
Just one.
I've seen them.
Yeah.
Mark Singer?
Mark Singer, yeah.
Yeah. I think that might be him. Have you seen those films, Bob?
Beastmaster? No.
Oh, where I hang on. I'm going to make my note right now for Beastmaster. Kevin, why was this movie made? Just because they needed something to do?
Well, I think it was the thing that Octopussy made money.
And but they keep and Christopher Walken
with the blonde hair and Zorin. He's okay in this.
But why are we doing this film? Like, this film was called Goldfinger.
Yes.
It's exactly the same.
It's Silicon Valley. You know,
is this not exactly the same plot as Goldfinger?
Pretty much, yeah. After a while, it retreads stuff.
But I don't understand
and
why.
The most, there's, you know, it has many ooh moments. There you go, ooh. You're uncomfortable. You know, Roger Moore and Tony Roberts in the shower with the camera coming in. Like, ooh. Ooh, really? Oh.
Come on,
the queen doesn't want to see it.
Sorry. Bob, did you see this?
Years ago, so I don't remember it.
I mean, why are they, like, Bob, you're the Bond expert. Tell me how he kept getting jobs, Roger Moore. Like, this should have been over.
Well, as I said, Octopussy made a lot of money. So, they said,
A View to a Kill didn't make money.
And then I think after View to a Kill was down, it was definitely not well received.
Oh, it's horrible. Piece of crap. Is what
I remember, you know what? As a kid, I remember liking Fear Eyes Only and being willing to give Octopussy the benefit of the doubt. And I like Never Say Never Again. But View to a Kill, I didn't bother. Saw it on a home video years later, and no regrets there.
And a great theme song, though.
Because somebody really miscalculated when they thought that Grace Jones was a great, attractive woman as a bad guy. Like, she is just so not attractive.
Oh, come on. At the end of this movie, when she's picking him up out of the thing, pulling the bomb out.
Yeah.
No, it's too heavy. I can do it. I'm like, no, you can't.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Why is Never Say Never not this list, intern?
You didn't put it on.
I say, let's do Never Say Never Again and save the next three movies on the list for Joe.
Okay.
Because Joe loves those.
Yeah, I know. Because Joe's supposed to be here. Sorry, we can change it up.
He's not here since it's too early in the morning.
I know. Okay. I'm sorry. I got a couple things we can add anyway. So, okay. Let's discuss Never Say Never. That is the worst never. Never Say Never, never again.
I actually watched this recently.
And what a pile of crap. Talking about people that should not be being bought, but I thought Connor did a better job than Moore.
He did. He's much better. He's James Bond. So
he is.
How
old was he when he did this one?
60? 50
something?
Like he looks like he's just sort of ambling through it. Really?
Well, let me see here. So it was made in 1983, and Sean Connery is 1930. So he's only 53 at the time that he made this movie. So
well, I hope I moved better than this when I'm
53. And you know, it's funny. I joke about that Moore being an octogenarian, but he was only 53 when he made those movies.
But he looked horrible.
Yeah.
Like, I just watched this recently. I thought, why?
This is a very early Kim Basinger film.
Yeah.
Too.
You can tell.
Which I don't understand how she ever... I never have liked her in a film yet.
Yeah.
Maybe L.A. Confidential, I'll give her.
L.A. Confidential.
And that's it. I think she's a horrible actress.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
Like, and I've sat through all of her movies.
And this was directed by Irvin Kershner, director of Empire Strikes Back.
And writing the new Star Wars film. Eight.
No, Irvin Kershner is...
Who am I thinking of?
You're thinking of...
the guy that wrote Empire.
Yeah.
Okay, Kevin, tell me why this movie was made. The guy needed to get it made because he had the rights.
So this guy, Kevin McClory, wrote a script years ago with Ian Fleming. So they put out this book called Thunderball. Like, he had the story idea, which is Spectre agents stealing bombs and whatever else. The whole swapperoo of the brother and so forth. So he had this script, but for some reason, Eon Films did not own that script. The deal was that it was partially owned. So he was allowed to then keep that script to make another film. So he decided he would make it. So the thought was that since he owned that script, and in that script is a character named James Bond, who was 007. Exactly Ian Fleming's character, that he could then do other adventures. So there was one thought that maybe if this worked out, that they might be able to do more original stories with that character.
Again, I don't see the point. Why did they get George Lazenby or somebody young? I just don't understand why they go back to the well with these old guys.
Sean Connery is still a massive superstar in 1983.
I guess so.
his star only rose further. By the time you get to the mid-90s, Sean Connery is one of the biggest stars in the world again, as an old man.
Yeah.
65 or something.
Well, he does. I remember seeing the Russia House.
Oh, yeah. And what was the one with Wesley Snipes, Rising Sun? And,
oh, is he in that one?
Entrapment. And,
oh, Entrapment. I forgot about it. I like that show.
Have we done Entrapment?
No, we have not done Entrapment. Oh,
that maybe one of your really listeners. The only thing about Entrapment that you remember is you know, the laser.
There's nothing wrong with that, though. Catherine Zeta-Jones looks great. She can't act either. She can join the rest of the clan. You know what? We could have Catherine Zeta-Jones in Jurassic Park 3, and I would have liked it better. Mm. Is Tina Leone the worst actress? She's horrible.
Yes, Tina Leone is the worst actress.
Maybe we should have that to our listeners. Can you please send us in your worst actress? Because Tanya Roberts
was suffering from his sex addiction at that point and was willing to do anything. So, oh, sorry, I didn't say that, did I?
Oh, I think she's attractive.
I know.
Tina Leone?
Yeah.
That voice is just enough to not want.
All right.
You think she's attractive, but
you know what? She really is almost famous.
Wait, how did we get to there? What happened to Frankenstein?
Oh, did we finish Never See Never Again? We're skipping the Frankenstein movies. We had a whole
we're waiting for Joe.
Oh, okay. So I thought it was Bond movies.
We're going to go add a couple things. Don't worry, I have an alternate.
Who saw Never See Never Again?
I did.
Did you like it? Did you not like it?
Yeah, it was an improvement over Due to a Kill and Octopussy.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it. I love Connery. I just think more. Mm-hmm. I was in so much pain. I think that's why I haven't.
I like the Barbara Carrera character. She was fun.
I think that's why I haven't started the Brosnan's. I'm just in so much pain from watching View to a Kill.
Oh, you must be watching the Daltons, though.
I've done those.
Okay.
I've already done those. They're coming up next episode,
yes.
Aren't they?
Yes.
I've done those. I just got to do the other ones. So back to Almost Famous. Kevin, I think you're one of the biggest fans I know of this film.
One of the greatest.
Well, we know somebody else that's a big fan, too.
Directed by Cameron Crowe, stars Kate Hudson, Patrick Fugit, not Peric Fugit, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Billy Crudup, Ferrezia
Mike,
Rainn Wilson, Frances McDormand, and many others. What can I say? I love this movie. It's based on Cameron Crowe's life as a rock journalist in the early 70s. So when he was a teenager, basically in high school, he started writing articles for Rolling Stone magazine. And in reality, he followed around a couple bands like Lynyrd Skynyrd and so forth. So this movie is, the band Stillwater is very loosely based on Lynyrd Skynyrd.
It's got to be Lynyrd Skynyrd, the guy going off the roof.
Yeah, because one of the guys, there is actually a plane crash, and one of the guys dies. And,
yes.
And this one, they didn't. They all survived the plane crash and lived on happily ever after. But I don't know.
Was he on the plane?
No, I don't think he was on the plane.
Oh, okay.
That might have been another incident, that he may have been on a plane with the rocks.
Oh, okay.
Because he toured with a couple other bands. Like, some of the things were taken from Zeppelin.
Yes.
He toured with Zeppelin. Like the I Am a Golden God and
yes.
Stuff like that, I think is all from Zeppelin. Anyway, I did you watch which version?
Watched the bootleg edition because I've seen the original years ago, and I have to say I didn't like the bootleg version as much as I did the original cut.
Okay.
But some of the scenes, I did like the airport scene more, you know, in the scene where he's running and running and running. I think this film just works. I think really the mainly reason why this film works, it's great casting.
Yeah.
I think this is Kate Hudson's best role ever and will be her best role ever.
Yep. Although I'm enjoying her on Glee.
Yeah, I think she's reinvented.
She's on Glee right now.
I know that, but I'm surprised you're watching.
I think she's good on Glee. The couple of bits, my wife watches Glee, and I've seen a bit of it, and it's good.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kate Hudson's, she's got away from those stupid rom-coms, which weren't doing anything for her. I mean,
she's got all those movies with Matthew McConaughey, Fool's Gold.
They're awful. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. They're awful films.
How to Lose an Audience in less than 10 years.
In 10 minutes. Yeah, she's like become nobody, but Glee seems to resurrect her.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was a good casting choice. I didn't realize that was for Sarah Balk in it.
Yeah.
I didn't realize. I had to. Rainn Wilson, as soon as I saw him, wanted to punch him in the face. So I thought that was great casting.
Mm-hmm.
I think Billy Crudup does a fabulous, absolute fantastic job as the leader.
Yes.
Still, Jason Lee is Stillwater. And Patrick Fugit does a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird.
Well, the movie hangs on credibility. Yeah. Sorry, on Tugit's credibility.
And he does a good job, and I really thought Hoffman did a good job, and he always does.
But he was sort of only in it for two scenes.
But he works well on those two scenes, so. I know he's always calling him and asking him for help.
See, I like as much as I can get. So I really enjoyed Almost Famous.
I could see that from you, though. I mean, I enjoyed the film. I still love when they sing Tiny Dancer. I still think that's one of the greatest cinematic moments of the last, whatever this movie, 20 years?
Yeah.
Is that scene there? Could they really bond together in the bus? Yes, Bob? You got something to add?
We'll go later when you're finished.
Oh, okay. And other than that, I mean, I think my only... I spent a lot of time with the groupies I don't enjoy, but I love this film. So I just... Because I saw the bootleg edition, I could see where the cuts could have been made for me. You know, as opposed to watching the two-hour thing, so it's 2.5 hour. Like, is it needed? I don't know if it's needed. I'd say no. Bob?
Okay, before I start, we know someone that's about as big a fan as Kevin is.
Yeah, but he hasn't listened to my show, so
no,
Dave can go screw himself.
I will tell him about this episode, because I said, what are you doing Almost Famous? I'll tell him.
Okay.
Hi, Dave. Now.
Right this
here
second.
Here we go. Almost Famous. I don't think I enjoyed it as much as you two, because I found it choppy. Like, it kept going from place to place to place. I got confused.
How could you get confused?
I don't know. I just, like, it's
listen,
just...
There just weren't enough teenagers in dancing.
That might be.
Didn't have a prominent.
There were no dogs.
Well, you forgot Zooey Deschanel, who does a great job in this.
Oh, yeah. Oh yes. That's right. I shouldn't forget Zooey, because Dave was all goo-goo ever, Zooey.
Well, she wasn't Zooey then. She's becoming Zooey Deschanel.
She's becoming Zooey. Okay. But,
Alf does it for her.
But Dave has this movie, and it's, like, dog-eared, because he's watched it so much, certainly. Like, he's...
Is it available on Blu-ray, Kevin? It must be, since I have this.
But he loves it. I mean, and he loaned it to me the first time, so I did watch it before.
So what did you think of it? Like, what can't you relate to this?
I don't know. I just, like, I... This is one movie. I didn't like it. For some reason.
I don't feel...
Not that I didn't like it. It's just like... I couldn't follow
it. The movie doesn't like you either.
It doesn't like you?
I don't think it does.
Because what bugs me, though, you see this film, and Kevin Crowe goes...
Wait. You're what bugs you? You're dissing part of the movie, are you?
What bugs me here is that Kevin Crowe goes from this great film to... That horrible film with what's his face now?
Elizabeth Town.
Vanilla Sky.
Is Vanilla Sky Kevin Crowe?
Vanilla Sky was his next film after. Yes.
Okay, then, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Elizabeth Town.
Yeah, Elizabeth Town was too.
Was absolutely painful. I've never seen Vanilla Sky, so I'll state that right now.
Yeah. I have actually.
Penelope Cruz
and didn't have a problem in it.
Vanilla Sky is not a good movie.
I've never seen it. So there you go, listeners. I've let you into movies I haven't seen.
There's
I don't know. I think Almost Famous is a must-see for anybody. That Francis McDormand.
I would put this, if I were doing my desert island picks.
This would be on yours.
This would definitely
Where are your desert island picks?
You know,
Tyson's asked me for them, and I said, it's up to you to do them, not me.
Have you done yours?
Mine have been up for months.
Oh, yeah? What are yours? I can't remember. I'll have to look them up.
They're on at Shawshank.
Oh, right. I think you're very verbose in your descriptions.
No, there's one line. It's just one. Well, Tyson even tells you I don't like to. I don't write. That's why I do a podcast. I don't blog. You used to blog. Do you still blog?
Not as much as I used to. Because the store here takes up a lot of my time.
Okay.
So I'm constantly
So you can't be a stuntman in the movies?
No, but I did enjoy a movie called The Stuntman with Peter O'Toole and Steve Railsback. Directed by...
You forgot Barbara Hershey.
Barbara Hershey, of course. Who's the director again? Yeah. You've got the box right there.
Bob didn't have time to watch it. It must have been a pitch-perfect marathon back-to-back-to-back.
What's it say? Director. Richard Rush.
Which I don't know anything about him. Can't say anything else he's done.
He's like really very highly
regarded.
Regarded. Mostly for this movie. What?
I'm just talking to pick up your mic.
Oh, okay. A fugitive stumbles on a movie set just when they need a new stuntman. He takes the job as a way to hide out, and he falls in love with the leading lady. And it's very, very much explores the director as God complex that you see a lot. Like, Peter O'Toole really rules his movie sets. And here's this World War I set romance.
That film is crazy. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a crazy movie. And Steve Rail's back, really, he's kind of crazy. You don't quite understand where he's coming from because he's a bit of a criminal.
We don't really know what he did, though. It doesn't really tell us.
But he's on the run.
Oh, absolutely. But you're missing part of it. Sorry, I know you were doing the thing. The whole thing, he is the stuntman because the other stuntman gets killed for something he did.
Yes.
So they're playing chicken with the other stuntman on the bridge.
Yes. And the guy goes into the water.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he becomes that stuntman.
He becomes that stuntman. Which I think
is saves his life.
I know you like this film, Kevin. I know you.
I do like it. It's crazy. It's a film that. It's memorable for Peter O'Toole's over the top.
Yeah, but he doesn't seem to ever come down from that.
No. And he has just like rant after rant, which is awesome.
He goes nuts.
Yeah. And he's basically putting the guy through the ropes. He could have been pretty much killed him at any point in these things. So.
But I don't think the guy cares.
No. No, I don't think the guy cares either because he's loving it too much.
Yes.
He's into it. He's always like, you're crazy. But he loves it. He loves Barbara. He's coming crazy. He's doing all this
stuff. But what's up with that crazy movie? Like, the guy's going through the roof. He's fighting the Germans. He's running over the thing.
It's like...
I want to see that film.
To me, it's like a Richard Lester movie from the early 70s. Like the Three Musketeers or the Four Musketeers or whatever.
With what's his face?
It's just over the top Oliver action Reed. With... You know, crazy comedic action.
When he falls
sequences.
Through the whorehouse, and all the boobs are everywhere.
Yeah, that's an early 70s movie that's like Royal Flash or Four Musketeers or any of those films. Oh, he's adding another to the list.
I've never heard of Royal Flash.
Royal Flash and Malcolm McDowell.
Flash. And Three Musketeers, I saw years
ago. Royal Flash is this movie.
Is it?
He's making, basically.
Okay.
It's not literally, that
I'd love to ask the intern what he saw, but Pitch Perfect must have been playing again last night, so he couldn't make it. Or was it Mamma Mia with the real long subtitles?
For your information, I was watching Magic Mike, Christmas in Connecticut, and I wanted to watch.
You know, Royal Flash is directed by Richard Lester.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Okay, what can you say about Stuntman? I, you know, I didn't like this film. I had a lot. I didn't seem to have a direction.
You didn't like Stuntman?
No.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was very long.
You're surprised?
No, it's to me, it's a 70s film. A 70s film doesn't necessarily end. They don't end well.
But
even
that's
early
my problem.
80s movies, they don't end well. They're like action pieces with some great ideas.
Yes.
But they're not a cohesive whole.
My problem is, you get to the end of the film, he does the hell. What does he do? He does some big stunt.
He dances on the wing of a plane.
That's it. I thought it was the airplane stuff.
Yeah.
And then you get to the end, and then he's like, okay, I'm done. You're like, okay, the film's going to be over.
Yeah.
But no, they get into a 20-minute argument over it, and then he doesn't quit.
Yeah.
And you know it's going to go back, and then the detective...
Well, then he thinks that when the movie ends, so does his life.
Yes.
Like, he's worried that the director will either turn him in or kill him.
But we don't know. It's so ambiguous at the end.
Right. Well, he gets away. He survives it. So.
We presume.
Right.
So I guess my question is, am I supposed to assume he just goes on working for the guy?
I don't know. I think he just assumes that he somehow goes off into the sun with Barbara Hershey, and maybe he does more films with him, maybe not. But stuntmen are crazy. There are many stuntmen like this guy who just continue to work with directors to do just crazy shit.
Okay. Talk about crazy crap. This has been on your list. I want to talk about Gunless.
Since
we're taking some stuff off the list, I'm going to add a couple films that you've had on yours.
I thought we were almost going to be done this episode.
No, we've got a couple things to go. No, I have a couple things. We have to do our Desert Island. And I want to discuss Gunless and Spawn.
Okay? Gunless, sorry. Gunless stars...
Paul Gross. And some Canadian actors.
Sienna Guillory.
That's it.
Dustin Milligan.
That's it. Who cares?
Directed by William Phillips. And a hot-headed American gunslinger goes to the U.S. It goes to Canada. And there's no guns. So he's trying to... You know what? This is Paul Gross being charming and funny. Doing set piece stuff. It's just awful. It's not a good movie.
Okay. So you're not going to tell me this was good. Watched this. I found it in the library. I said, Kevin's had this on the list for a year.
No, I'm not going to say that it was good.
Because I wanted to kill you.
It would have been a fun TV movie.
Okay.
Maybe.
So good. So that's it. That's all I want to talk about. Gun was 30 seconds.
All right.
Okay. Go to the Desert Island. We'll skip.
No, you want to talk Spawn.
If you saw Spawn, I gave it to you, Bob. You didn't watch it?
Well, actually, I've seen it before on TV.
It's
so I remember it.
Michael Jamal White. No, that's wrong.
John Leguizamo. Yeah,
Mark,
Michael J. White is on it.
Mark Dippy.
Mark Dippy.
John Leguizamo, Michael J. White, Martin Sheen, and Teresa Ribb.
Oh, what a pick.
And Nicole Williamson, Merlin from Excalibur, as Cagliostro.
Is there anything I can say about this? I've never seen this piece of junk.
First off, Spawn is such an awful concept.
What
it's
makes
just
no sense?
Todd McFarlane throwing a bunch of stuff together and making a lot of money.
My
so.
Biggest issue with Spawn is every time he uses his power, he gets closer to hell. Well, then I have no interest in watching him. He doesn't want to use his power then.
Right. To me, I would be like, why would I use any of my power?
Yes.
I'll just go on forever. I'll look like Hamburger Head forever.
Yeah.
You okay, Bob? You look tired.
Sure.
And I think the movie.
How did he first become Spawn? Like I think I missed that.
He's a mercenary working for Martin Sheen.
Yeah.
And they double cross him, and he blows up.
Yes.
And when he blows up, he goes to hell because he was evil, essentially. And while he's in hell, Satan says to him, or the male Bogia or whatever.
Yes. You're going to lead my army.
Yeah, you're going to be a Spawn, which is a general in my armies. And what I do is I give you a finite amount of power, and you go back to Earth, and while you're on Earth, you use that power to become a better general. So, anyway, just...
In the sketches that I do...
But he loves his wife, and he doesn't like the fact his wife is with someone new.
Well, no, his wife goes
so
to his body.
It's sort of like Darkman.
Yeah.
Like, he gets blown up,
yeah,
and he becomes, like, Darkman and whatever else. So, this is, like, similar.
Yeah,
but John Leguizamo is John Leguizamo. Actually, he's probably the only saving grace of this whole film.
He's amusing in this. Yeah.
And I thought the makeup
doesn't look like himself. He's completely in that clown.
And I like him as a clown. I think he's the best in the film. But the script is awful. But the problem is, Spawn is such a flawed character. I don't
it's
think
written
you
by
make.
Todd.
Is it really?
Yes.
Well, that's why I can't understand
his story. And then two guys wrote the dialogue.
It's just a piece of crap.
Garbage.
Absolute garbage. Okay, that's it. I told you. 2 seconds on Spawn.
What did you buy or say that for the next episode?
We can do it right now, or do you want to do it?
What did you buy?
I bought nothing.
Okay. What did you buy?
Pitch
I
Perfect.
Bought, no.
Hotel Touch Ring! Rock with Ages, the karaoke sing-along edition.
So
Jumanji on Blu-ray DVD.
You don't have a Blu-ray.
I know that. But here's the thing. I went to the store. I looked at two sections. I'm going, okay, I've always wanted Jumanji again on DVD this time. I looked at it. It's $20 on DVD. I look on the Blu-ray DVD combo. It's $10. I'm going, okay, well, I'll buy that. Eventually, I'm going to get a DVD player.
Blu-ray.
I got a question.
Right, Blu-ray
okay.
player.
Okay, what else did you buy? Then I have a question.
There's another movie, and I can't remember what it was.
Okay, Kevin, do you find when you go to Future Shop, there is no DVDs anymore? It's
there's
all Blu-ray.
A small amount of
there's
it's
DVDs
shrunk
still.
A lot.
People don't
you're
buy
going to
DVDs.
You're going to an Ajax Future Shop, so no wonder.
No, that would be even better. You'd probably have more selection.
I have a lot of selection at mine.
Yeah.
Because I have a Best Buy.
I still see them.
I have a Zellers going out of business.
Wasn't there a Zellers at...
Yes.
So what did I buy?
Oh,
what did you
where
buy?
Is your, I miss your stock, Kevin. Can we go back to your house?
No, it's at my home.
I used to go to your house and just be a stock.
Dark Knight Rises.
Ooh.
I thought you didn't like that film.
Oh,
that's
trouble.
I take it till you can die. Would you like some butter chicken?
Now you have my permission to die.
What did you have for breakfast?
I brought you some chicken.
We
again.
Had bagel with cream cheese. Crack. You're my bagel with
cream
cheese.
Something I really want.
I also got Wrath of the Titans.
Please tell me you didn't pay more than $5.
It was cheaper. Sorry, Bob doesn't want to hear what I was saying. I bought 10.
Oh, God.
I got Looney Tunes, the Ultimate or whatever, Platinum Collection, Volume 2.
I don't know what that is.
It's just another Blu-ray set. I bought,
Justice League.
There you go.
It's $100.
It's all seven figures.
Uh-huh. Look.
I got They Live.
I love that.
Is that with Roddy Piper?
Yes.
And David Keith.
Yes.
Keith David.
And I got...
Put the glasses on!
What else did I get? Anything else? Oh, I got Lawrence of Arabia.
Didn't you have that already, the Blu-ray?
I had it on DVD, and then I got this box set.
I've seen it.
The big square one.
Did you see the Harry Potter box set where you were there? It was $300?
No.
I was at Costco, and it looks like a box, like a huge, like a statue box. If you're going to buy a statue, it would be in there.
Yeah.
It has a book and 8 DVDs, and this, that. My wife goes, put that down. What? Just looking at it. Put that down.
I agree. Put it down.
That was it. And then I got Lego Batman 2.
Oh, really? There's a 2?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to have to go buy that. I
it's
love
got
Lego
Superman
Batman
and Green Lantern. And
I love Lego Batman. Number one, I have almost everything opened.
I don't like this one as much because it's too open. It sends you to areas and then you have to figure out how to find the bad guy. So you don't necessarily.
Oh, really? Because the other one used to be almost like a 2D video game.
Yeah. Like, what's. It's a video game?
Yes.
Yeah. So what it does is, let's say I want to fight Ra's al Ghul. So I go to Metro Station North. So I'm there, but there's no Ra's al Ghul. So I have to figure out a way to find him. So I can explore the entire Gotham City and wander around, beat up guys, and try to find gold coins and whatever else. It's just, I want to be directed. I want to know where I'm
going. I know what you're saying.
I feel like I'm achieving something. All right, so final segment.
Yes, final segment.
Desert Island Films.
You know what, Tyson? I'm going to say this now. We do your lovely Desert Island every week where people pick 8 movies and a couple items. And I've never gotten an email from Tyson. I get DMs on Twitter.
Tyson feels lonely.
I feel lonely. I need an email.
He wants a hug.
Whose list are we going to look at?
We're supposed to look at Mark's, but I don't remember. I didn't write it down which guy. So.
This is Mark Ziobra?
No, we did his.
Okay.
That's the movie. Just pick somebody.
Tyson, there are a lot of them here. Actually.
I know. Just pick somebody you like. Tyson, we're going to do a random today. This one right there.
Rorschach Reviews?
There we go. We're doing Rorschach's Reviews.
All right.
There we go, Tyson. Randomly picking today.
Rorschach Reviews.
So you didn't send me any.
Okay, let me start at the bottom.
What item did he pick?
So his item is his guitar.
Fine.
His guitar is named Gabriella. She's jet black acoustic.
See, I like this guy. His name is Guitar, so you can call his sand creature.
It'd be a lovely chance for him to catch up on some practicing.
See, that's good.
Maybe after 3 years, I could be playing like her namesake from Rodrigo y Gabriela. Okay, cool.
Is that some chick that plays guitar, or I'm a little confused there.
I know it's from. I guess it's a movie. I don't know.
Well, the movie better be in this list.
Keep dragging this out. His book would be Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
That's fine. I hope he likes camping.
Lie, he hasn't read it all the way through since high school. He hasn't read a book all the way through since high school.
Well, I hope he enjoys the camping
scenes.
He feels
culturally handicapped. Does it make him spend hours reading a book where so many movies are out there that he hasn't seen? No.
I like this guy.
I've been a major Potterhead, and I firmly believe the last book in the series is the best. We only did an excellent job of tying together aspects from each of the preceding books into one epic finale. Cool. All right.
I like him already.
Number 8, Office Space.
Good choice. I think that's an excellent film. I know
you've seen it a dozen times and loves it.
Because we have him right here. My stapler. I need my stapler. Love that film.
His favorite scene has got to be the beatdown on the printer. It feels good to be a gangster.
I think the greatest scene in that film is the end of the film when he's on the island. The guy, I can't remember his name, Stephen Root. He still gets no respect, even though he has all the money.
Yeah.
I ask for no salt, my margarita. I love that scene.
Number 7 is Pulp Fiction.
That's fine. I have no issues with Pulp Fiction.
It's hard to pick a favorite Tarantino, but this is what started it all.
Why?
Aside from putting Samuel L. Jackson's career on fast track and introduced the world to Tarantino's manic transitions between amusing casual banter and extreme violence.
That's not true. Tarantino's favorite. I think Dogs is a better film.
Reservoir Dogs.
Don't you?
No, Pulp Fiction is a better film.
It's been a long time since I've seen either of them. I'd probably take Kill Bill 1, maybe.
His favorite scene is any scene where Samuel L. Jackson quotes Bible verses.
Well, that's the whole film, pretty right. much.
Number 6, Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King.
This guy's great. Makes good choices.
Of all the trilogies I can think of, it's probably the most effective capped off of all of them. And the word epic describes it in every way. And any movie which manages to keep its audience riveted to the screen for most of its 200-minute runtime deserves the record tying of Oscar wins for a movie received. And his favorite moment is King Theoden's speech before the charge.
That is the best. I love that.
Where he screams death.
I like this guy. He picks good films. No Pitch Perfect, no Hotel Transylvania.
I think you're going to like some of his other films.
So far, I like this guy.
Number five is Hot Fuzz.
Great choice again.
Yeah.
See, Bob, this is what people that watch movies like.
Pang and Frost pretty perfectly off each other. Edgar Wright's in-your-face style directing couple with a fabulous tongue-in-cheek.
What was the name of that guy that said to be nice to the intern?
It was a woman, so
his
nice of you to pay attention.
The entire sheet out at the
sorry,
end.
Woman.
Number four is Fight Club.
Oh, wait, hold on a second. Bob, we can't talk about Fight Club. Have you seen Fight Club yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh, we can't talk about it.
We can't talk about it. How many times have you seen Pitch Perfect again?
No comment.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Anchorman.
Okay, now I got a problem.
This one's
you were doing so well. What's the guy's name?
You've disappointed Simon.
It's Rorschach Films.
Well, you're doing a great job, but Anchorman? Anchorman was rough. I tried. I saw this with my wife, and she said, you picked this? This was your choice? This was the end of Will Ferrell
for me.
This
was not Will Ferrell's best movie.
No, I don't think so at all. Yeah, I agree. I don't like Anchorman. I like scenes from Anchorman. I like when all the different channels and their groups show up for the big fight scene.
Yeah.
And other than that, I thought it was good. And I like when Jack Black rips his dog off the freeway. So that was about it for me.
Number two, The Dark Knight.
Excellent.
Okay, there you
perfect
have me
film.
On that one.
I would have hit the button and blown up all the prisoners. I'm totally
number one.
Yes, that would be Shawshank.
No.
What's
his number one? What do you think is number one film?
Well, it's everything he's picked from the last 20 years, pretty much.
This is not from the last 20 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it'll be Seven Samurai. There's nothing foreign on his list.
No.
No Magnificent Seven. No westerns. Godfather?
No. I can't make the noise right. I need something to make. Get two coconut halves and bang them together.
You're kidding me.
And it's Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Oh, yes! Oh, Sir Robin ran away. This is the greatest film of all. This is the best comedy I think I've ever seen
in my life. I wouldn't put it in my 10.
What, Holy Grail?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Holy Grail is in my top 10.
I have no argument with that.
Come on, Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Have you seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail, Bob?
Are you kidding me?
Probably not.
You've never seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail, I think, is an amazing film. Which one do you like better, Life of Brian, then?
No, I like Holy Grail better than Life of Brian.
I'm going to bite you. Come back here, you ninny. I got to bite your ankles. We've never done Python movies. Now for something completely different.
Yeah. And that wraps up Rorschach Reviews.
Rorschach. Fabulous list. You did a great job.
Yeah.
Finally.
Anchorman.
Yeah, Anchorman needs to go. You need to add something better like Seven Samurai.
Well, he'll argue otherwise, I'm sure. But
well, maybe you can send us an email at extrafeatures@gmail.com.
Mine at some point.
Okay, we got to go. We got to get these done quick.
Sure.
I'm Simon.
Kevin.
Intern.
And if Bob doesn't watch it, I will.
And then he'll make me watch it.